How much weight did you lose?
Well, I mean, six or seven. Well, no, same thing now, 6 or 7 pounds, you know. And thanks to Gatorade, now I can put it back real quick. Because usually I'd have to take intravenous, you know. I passed out on Apollo Theater stage one time. Not completely passed out, but I got real faint, you know. It's a funny feeling when you get dehydrated. A very funny feeling. You feel light. You know, you get to a point where you think you're doing better. You think, I'm not getting tired, you know. But you'll be losing all your weight, you know. And then later on, you find yourself having cramps and you just collapse.
Do you have the Blues Brothers any pointers on choreography?
They need it. But they got a lot of heart and a lot of soul. But one thing about it, they're like Avis, they're trying harder, so they'll make it. I know they're sincere because they're putting people back to work. They're going to be part of the biggest thing ever happened economically as far as black entertainment is concerned. And they're going to give them a lot of work. And they were almost forgotten. You know, a few of us were able to survive the storm, but kind of rough there one time. Holy moly, yeah.
What's going on for James Brown now besides the movie?
Well, I can't do all the work I can get right now because there's great resurgence, you know, from Europe. On this type of music, soul music and R&B. You know, I'm hearing the name R&B again. I'm glad to hear that, rhythm and blues, you know? Because I had to change, you know, with the times, but it's still rhythm and blues. And I hope they don't go back to race music, though. That'd be too far back. But it's still rhythm and blues, and I'm getting a lot of work. I just, you know, pitches are better for me because I get a chance to reach more people. It'll probably increase my record sales. Well, I used to will sell 50 million records over 20 years or whatever. I'll sell 50 million records with every single. You know, that was the difference between Elvis and myself, why I was chosen to be number two. Because I would make a record to sell 1.5 million, and Elvis would sell 15 million. And it was a difference in sales. And I understand it, you know.
Through your career, you've remained contemporary with the sound of the times. Like, It's Too Funky in Here is a very current sounding record. Do you see yourself going back to like an older style?
Oh, I'm going back, yeah. That was done by Brad Shapiro, who used a little bit more theory in the music. He couldn't use my theory because he don't know my theory. He don't play what he heard. But I deal with the 7s and the 9s. He deal with the 6s, and, you know. And he deal with more of a theoretical arranged formula, formatted, you know. And I deal with what I feel and what I hear, and that's the difference.
But in R&B as it is today, I go back to Lead Belly and Crawling Snake and people of this sort. The R&B that I'm hearing today isn't exactly like the old early days.
Peter Weestraw, Blind Boy Fuller, Sonny Boy Fuller. Well, that's my daddy era. I tell people he sang the blues 1,000 times better than I could ever feel it because he had more blues than I had. You know, blues is living with the word can't, you know. That's what created that, you know. A man knowing he's not allowed, when a man can do the greatest performance in the world, and he get to a point in the song, he said, they got a joke, a fellow was saying, playing piano, saying, Marley and me. And I'm speaking just like it is, years ago. And a white fellow walked up and said, do you know Marley's white? He said, Marley and y'all. See? So, we're talking about what it is, okay? And it's there's no reason to feel bad because we faced that, you know? It's the idea to say we can look back at it, okay? So that's a blessing within itself. But I said that to say this, how can I sing the blues as good as my father when I can go live at the Best Western, you know, I can live here. And he couldn't even live in the town. He had to live in the country, you know. You saw the story of Billie Holiday, you know, where she's a star and can't live where a valet lived.
A lot of those were jail tunes in those days, and you don't hear any good jail tunes anymore.
No,
well. The Jailhouse Rock, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I did a thing, if y'all can remember, some of the youngsters, yeah, and King Heroin. I was talking about fighting the drug thing. That's a jailhouse thing. But a good friend of mine, Manny Rosen, was able to go out and write a version. A lot of people got mad, but nobody had a monopoly on a jailhouse record, you know. He got out. A young man over here got a thing on out there got a thing on the downfall of the pimps. And it's a little vulgar, and I don't do risque things, but if I could clean it up and give it some type of, be a way to present it so a family can listen to it, you know, I'd like to do it. But those are the things, you're right, those tunes, confinement tunes, are the real tunes. That's mean the gospel is so strong, because of the way of singing about Omasa, while you're out there, he didn't understand it, you know. Like if a fellow in a prison, it would be raining, getting ready to rain, you know, and they want to get off, and they see a storm coming, they say, "Captain, there's a dark cloud arising, let's go home." See, he couldn't say, it's raining. He just started singing a song, and they started singing it. And everybody's looking, see the rain, and say, "Okay, y'all pack up, let's go." You know, so you're right about that.
You've always been socially conscious in your songs, too. I mean, it's like King Heroin, "Don't Be a Dropout."
Mm-hmm. Well, thank God I was able, like today, okay? There are very few blacks can sit here and talk to people in the broadcast media on y'all level. They don't get the opportunity. Yet and still, I can say anything I want, and you'll accept it and love it because you're my fans, you know? I don't know how much he knows about me, but I'm sure all of the youngsters are, you know, because I've been part of your life, you know. So I get the opportunity, you know, and that's the difference.
Whatever happened to Marva Whitney?
See? Marva Whitney's in California. She left me, and she married, she went back to the church, and then she decided she wanted to go back to singing. So she went to California. She's out there not trying. It's a shame, you know, because if I were able to, some big record company would give me, there's a need for a real black-owned label. It can be, I don't mean away from just own that black. I mean one run by blacks who can do anything that they feel. You know, why make me sound like Lil Willie John? Why make Lil Willie John sound like B.B. King? Everybody have their own identity, you know. And be able to record people as is. That's the only way we're going to get new stars, right? Is to let them cut what they feel. There's a need for that. I know so many big companies would say, "Hey, okay, you do what you want to do. Just bring me a finished product." And we'd get legitimate tunes again. Not so much just black, but I'm saying any person, the ethnic people, Hispanic, whatever, let the people do what they want to do. And this way we'll get a cross-section of good music.
Going back to what you were saying about feeling of blues, how do you suppose Jake and Elwood come across it?
They are... had their hard times, I think. If no more than trying to tell people that they had this in them and couldn't get a chance to do it. I think they went through a proving ground with Animal House and whatever, and they got the go-ahead, you know. I believe after this movie, you'll see me in movies for as long as I live, because you say, okay. But when is that day going to end where you just take one person because of the fact, like, again, I say, I'm a chance to talk to you. And I'm going to ask you a question about Jake and Elwood. Jake and Elwood tried to tell people what they were talking about. They couldn't get it. So after they proved themselves, they said, "Wouldn't it be great to have James Brown on stage? Wouldn't it be great to have Aretha Franklin? Wouldn't it be great to have Ray Charles? What would happen if we filmed a scene where good John Lee Hooker was out there singing Boogie Children or something like that, you know, not Boogie Children, Boogie Chillin, C-H-I-L-L-U-N, you know, the way he said it, you know. And they were able to make this happen. Now, I think there'll be a lot of people who will copy off these cats and go even deeper, you know. But all my love goes out to Jake and Elwood, Dan and John, and John and Landis as well, and all the people involved, for having enough guts to do it. It took a lot of guts for me to say it loud, "I'm black and I'm proud," when nobody understood what I was saying. I was talking about, how can a man succeed if he's not proud? I mean, don't let me go worry about my skin. Let me worry about, can I do it? See? If I'm going to worry about the color of my skin, I'll never do it. Because I'll be forever trying to get bleaching cream to be white. But let me give what I can give like I do it, you know. If a man has out in battle, and one of the, God forbid talking about war, but one of the soldiers get hurt, you don't worry about what color he is. You worry about the fact that he's one of you. If you want some help, you say, "Come help me." If you go to the hospital and you get hurt and you need blood, you don't say give me black or white blood, you say give me some red blood. Some blood, period, you know. So Jake and Elwood, to me, goes down to real heroes. And I hope everybody get a chance to see it and not criticize what they did. It's stupid. They had to have some soul to produce this or to be a part of it, you know. I remember the time that I used to be singing and I'd be on a downbeat, just getting down, and whites would be trying to find the beat, but not today. You know, you got to dance, you got to dance like the devil. If you don't, somebody will beat you dancing. Because you know, nobody has no monopoly on nothing. It's the exposure they need.
Do you think we go around in terms of music? You know, are we seeing a renaissance of stuff? I mean, your stuff, you've changed with the times. When music was sounding different, you were always there in the forefront of making those changes. But now it seems as if there's a whole sort of renaissance going on of the type of stuff that you were doing when you were doing, you know, Cold Sweat and Please, Please, Please. The real sort of, let's get back to basics.
But what the problem is, you have so many. A man who knows, who's been theoretically taught, he can play. He can't play that stuff. You can emulate it and try to copy it, but you can't really play it. You see, when you don't know, ignorance is like water, you know, or oil, you know, comes up in some of the darndest places. The Beverly Hillbillies thing, right? Get done, started pumping up out of the ground. So what happens is escape, survival. If you got a musician who can't make it but one way, because he can hear a tune and learn how to play, and that's when you find so many songs sound just alike, because if I don't know how to make his improvisation and change and go to another. A lot of people who play in one key, all the songs, because they don't have the formal teaching. But one thing about it, they get the job done. Now, it's like myself today. How can I have much soul today as I had yesterday when I couldn't eat? Can't. The word can't gives you soul.
Talk more about soul. You can call Soul Brother Number One. John Belushi sings Soul Man.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about how do you know you've got soul? Who has soul?
Everybody. Who am I to stand up and tell a person they don't have soul? You got a soul, don't you? Everybody got soul. It's what situation gonna make you be able to bring that thing out. Everybody got soul. You gonna make me stand up and tell you don't have soul? Then we got to get rid of the religions or whatever. Everybody has soul. Suffering brings it out, and the opportunities are presented to you, and how you're going to get it across. When you see a black player out there outrunning somebody who hasn't had a hard time, he's running from starvation. So it's almost impossible. It's almost like a man who trying to save his life, a drowning man. When he grip you, you'll either save him and yourself, or you would both drown, because he's not going to turn you loose. Mm-hmm. Most black people start in churches because if they want to get a loan to buy a house, they can't get it. I mean, listen to what I'm saying. I'm not up here on political, but I'm trying to explain these things because, you know, I don't go to pro-black or the pro-white or pro-red or pro-yellow. I go pro-people. But by the same token, if a black man want to get a loan for a house, it's going to be hard for him. But he can get a loan for a church. So through that church, he has to come out of there to get his identity. So that's why a lot of us start in churches. That's all where we can start. And in my days, we had as many white people, more white people going to church, the black churches then, than going to them now. Because now there's an awareness and what are you doing here, which is stupid, you know. Like when the blacks run a white out of Harlem, that's like running the money out, you know, that's stupid. But by the same token, they ran them out. So churches is always gonna produce more entertainers out of the poor areas, basically the blacks, because that's the only place they can get to express their talent. Sam Cooke, you know, Richard, myself, you know, all the people come out of church, Aretha, everybody, because you get your first chance there. If we could go to Broadway and get our first chance, or Hollywood, and we wouldn't be in the churches. But we go to church because that's the only outlet.
Were you in a choir, church choir?
I sung quartet.
Yeah.
quartet, four people.
How old were you when you were doing that?
Nine.
Yeah.
Eight.
So when you played this part in the Blues Brothers movie?
Natural.
Yeah.
There wasn't a problem. It was even longer than that and more dynamic, but they trying to get Satan cuts, you know, because after doing the regular sermon, then I come back and I did stills and close-ups and they edited. And nobody can edit as well as the original. Each time you lose.
Even didn't walk.
A little bit of it.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't, it's a difference in dancing and shouting. I could never really, I couldn't use my body.
Well, you got that.
I wouldn't use it anyway. Because I mean, then you wouldn't be selling religion, you'd be selling sex.
Yeah. Okay.
What, how did the Famous Flames turn into the JBs? Were they two separate bands?
The Famous Flames were singers.
That
was a backup group.
Weren't you touring with a band called with the Famous Flames?
They were singers. They're singers. The JBs came because of the fact I wanted the band to have my identity. But I started the JBs singing with Fred Wester and and Maceo and them, a thing called Gimme Some More. That's the first beginning of bands in the 60s singing and becoming a group. That's when the Earth, Wind & Fire, the Commodores. Because usually those people had to be playing, and then you have some singers to sing.
It might be a little early to ask you this because the movie's just coming out, but what effect has the entire Blues Brothers experience had on you?
Me? Well, it's not early to that. It's not too early to ask me that. Number one, the part itself kind of grabbed me. It took me about 3 weeks to get away from it. I almost didn't want to go back and sing. You know, I had to talk to my spiritual advisor, my cousin, and a lot of people to remind me, hey, you played a part, because I lived it, you know. It has a great effect on me because I can see further than me being an employer, entrepreneur. The employee don't see it the way I see it. I see jobs, I see economical motivation, I see a stimulus there. Every time a performer goes back to work, he's going to have a backup band, a group, a ballet, he's going to have a light man, he's going to be an auditorium rented, he's going to be flyers put out, handbills, printing presses, videos. They get a job, the commercial is going to be sold because of that one thing. They create a lot of employment with that movie.
Follow up on that. Saturday Night Fever, the movie, he was credited for much of the success that disco had. The whole radio stations changing their formats, album sales, and so forth and so on. How far do you think the Blues Brothers movie may go?
All the way. It'll go all the way. Because the R&B won't ever die because of the fact that R&B is a lot different than disco. Disco is only the vamp of an ending of an R&B tune. It's the very ending of an R&B tune so when you don't have any changes. R&B is more closely related to jazz than it is to gospel. Because we listened to B.B. King early tunes with more jazz years ago.
Are you going to go out on the road again?
I'm out there every day.
I'm building a file of things that I can come back and use.
Yes.
All year round. I wonder if you could tell me when your birthday is. What's your birthday?
May 3rd, 1933. I'm Taurus.
And what kind of things you appreciate in a gift? Or if there's a gift that you got once that you really loved, or something like that.
Potato pie, some black eyed peas, some fresh air, I can't get an old car from, you know, if somebody can afford it, about a $25, $50, $75 car that I can work on myself. Old things. You know, that's what I appreciate. Things that has a sense of value of humanity, of survival, a thing that makes me concerned and want to become involved in it so I can use myself in a way of a betterment, you know. If somebody would send me a shoe shine box, it would tickle me to death. You know. Hi, this is James Brown, Soul Brother number one, whatever you say. Bill will get back to you as soon as he can, but stay tuned.